All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Friday Night Live. Taking a little break from Hebrews tonight. Got a little ceremony going here in about a week and a half or so, and two young men are going to be ordained, charged with the ordination to preach the word, to preach the gospel. And it'll be a splendid time, will be guaranteed for all. It'll be awesome. It'll be a blessing. Jesus himself will be here because it's the charge is from him. It's not from any man. It's straight from Christ himself. So I just a little bit of encouragement for the young men, Gregory, Seligman, and my only begotten son, Ty. Little encouragement from the Word of God. So let's pray. Father, just thank you so much for your Word, Lord, that keeps us straight on the path, Lord, and keeps us seeking your understanding and wisdom, Lord. And this is what we need in this time of history, Lord, when there's not much divine outlook or viewpoint that you can catch on the airwaves or even one-on-one conversations, Lord. And we need to just have that comfort and that joy and that to be excited about your coming and about what you're doing on the planet right now, even though we might not really grasp what's going on. But you know, you're in charge, and we can have comfort knowing that you're in complete control, Lord, and we can't ask for any more than that. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your son who gave himself on that cross, Lord. That's where love is always measured from, the cross. And we can't understand with our finite minds, but your word explains all that we should ever need to know. Help us to grasp it, Lord. To understand, to know your love. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Didn't know really where to start, so started with 2:1 of 1 Timothy. Paul says, "Therefore, my son," talking to Timothy, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You can never have enough grace. Grace is how the Lord deals with us in our infirmity, grace and mercy. As a matter of fact, Paul's usual beginning is grace and peace when he introduces himself at the beginning of a letter. But the two letters to Timothy, he adds mercy. Because when you're a pastor teacher, you need a lot of mercy, too, besides grace. And you can never have too much grace. You can abuse it. You can do whatever you want to it. And he'll never stop giving it to you because, like I said, that's how he deals with us. And that be strong, that means be empowered. That's a passive verb there. Allow yourself to be strengthened by that grace. Ephesians 6:10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." So that's where we get our power, where our ability derives from the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:9 and 10, "Who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace." There's grace again. "Which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." 3:7 of Titus, "So being justified by his grace, we would be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. For the grace of God has appeared," in Titus 2:11, "bringing salvation to all men. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, instructing us, already believers, to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present, in this now aeon, this present age. As we look for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself, there it is again, the cross, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. These things and exhort, Ty and Greg, and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Titus 3:4, but when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. From justification to glorification, it's all grace. 2 Timothy 2:4. Now, here's a little advice Paul was given to the Timothy. Well, Timothy had a little extra. He wasn't just going to be a pastor. Paul was going to leave the mantle for all the churches that he would have to deal with. And it even says, for his stomach's sake, to take a little wine. And he was probably a little sickly. Had bad nerves from all the stuff he had to remember. But in 2 Timothy 2:4, Paul says, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Can't be completely ignorant of what's going on in the world. You have to know a little bit. Don't get caught up, sit around watching Fox News all day or do like I used to do. Shame on me. Listen to talk radio all day in the van when I was delivering Sarah's candy. But should know a little bit, because later on Paul will say in 2:1, first of all then, I urge entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. For kings, all who are in authority, so that we may lead a quiet, tranquil life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved, and then come to an epinosis knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator also between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. Peter agrees. He adds in 1 Peter 2:16, act as free men. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but as bond slaves of God, honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, who happened to be Nero at that time. In Acts 23:3, Paul ripped into a high priest, called him a whitewashed wall, and somebody pulled him aside and said, don't you know that's a high priest? Paul said, whoop. Because in Exodus 22:28 it says, don't speak evil about a leader of the people, which I'm really guilty of. You can hardly help it these days, huh? Romans 13:1, that gives all authority to God. And I've even heard preachers come on the radio stations I used to listen to saying that this administration is really evil and that doesn't apply anymore, and that's garbage. Word of God applies always, all the time, forever. And even Jesus recognized that you have authority, but only because my Father gave it to you. So, 2 Timothy 2:5, also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he completes according to the rules. 1 Corinthians 9:25, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable, the crown of righteousness, hopefully. Run in such a way that you may win. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. but I beat my body, make up my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Think of when you're studying and doing all your hard work and that. Apply it to yourself first. That's the only advice I can give you, I think, because people are watching. You know what they say about us. Oh, he's supposed to be a man of the cloth. He's supposed to be a preacher. He can't even be a Christian. Well, we got to be careful to put up the good, not to be phony, but allow your teaching and allow your study to fill you first. The old story, when you're pointing your finger, there's always three pointing back to you. So, this message, you're not getting that message in your study for your flock. You're getting it for yourself first. So be careful to look to yourself. That's all I can say. Take pains with these things, Paul says. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself first and those who hear you. 4:12 of 1 Timothy is, let no one look down on you, on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example. Now, you're not an you're not a hoopopatosis like Paul. You're just a tupos, just a example. Paul is the ultimate example because Jesus saved him from going hunting Christians and killing them and sending them to jail. That's what he was saved from. 1 Timothy 6:11, flee the youthful lust, guys. You men of God, pursue righteousness, godliness. There's godliness. Faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight. Take hold of eternal life for which you were called. And in a week or so, you will make the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And in the presence of God, especially, who gives life to all and of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate. And we know what that was. Jesus was standing before Pilate, and Pilate says to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king, for this I have been born. For this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? He had no idea. He was standing there looking at him, beaten, bruised, pushed down on his head a crown of thorns, bloody from being whipped, and Pilate was terrified. And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews, said, I found no guilt in him. Then later on in 19:8, when he came back, Pilate therefore heard this statement, he was even more afraid. And he entered into the praetorium again and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate said to him, you do not speak to me. Do you not know I have authority to release you? I have authority to crucify you? Jesus answered, you would have no authority over me unless. He didn't say he didn't, but you wouldn't have it unless it had been given to you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me has a greater sin. And Peter agrees again. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Didn't say a word, spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, just like St. Nick. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept on entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live in righteousness. For by his wounds we are healed. And what are the rules now? 1 Timothy 3:15 and 16. Paul writes to Timothy, in case I'm delayed, I'm going to write you this. I want you to know how to act in the church of God, which is the body of Christ, the church of God, the church of the living God. And I always get a kick out of that because that's not an adjective. That's a verb. He's the living God. He's living right now. And this is how you should act in the assembly. Great is the mystery by common confession. We've been over this how many times? But you should never forget it. It's the pillar and support of the truth. Every message, all your preaching should be centered around one thing, the mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. He was revealed in the flesh. The word became flesh, dwelt among us. It's vindicated in the spirit, proven to be the Son of God by being raised from the dead by the Spirit of holiness in Romans 2:4. Vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels. The angels at his birth announced his birth. When he was tempted, they appeared to strengthen him in the garden when he was, before he went to the cross, they were helping him there too. Proclaimed among the nations, that's your book, Acts. Believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been secret for long ages past, but now is manifested by the scriptures, the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to obedience of faith, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those are his. Don't try to guess. Everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Adikia. Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware. Some to honor, some to dishonor. I remember going to visit my grandma down in Greene County in the summers. And she was always in the kitchen, cooking all her pots and pans. She's out there cooking bacon. And to the doorway that went on to the upstairs, there was this curtain, and there behind her, there was like this little porcelain pot, and that wasn't for cooking. They had an outdoor outhouse, and my grandma was tough, but I don't think she was going to go outside if she had to go to the bathroom. So cleanse yourself from the latter. Don't be dishonorable. Sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Once again, flee them youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness. Dioko, persecute it. Chase it. Chase it down. Faith and love, peace, and those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. It's a trustworthy statement. It's my favorite. If we died with him, and we did, Romans 6 proves it, and various other portions, we will also live with them. If we endure, we will also reign with them. These are all first class filled position conditions. If we deny him, he'll deny us. He told the boys, he said, you guys, if you deny me, I'll deny you before the Father and his angels. So it wouldn't be a good thing. Peter knows it's not a good thing to deny him. We are faithless. This is the great part. He remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. You're always forgiven. You're always cleansed by the Lord to do what you have to do. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, considering the result of their conduct. Hebrews 3:13-7. Imitate their faith. What is their faith? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, through which those who were so occupied were not benefited at all. Therefore, I exhort you, be imitators of me, says Paul to the Corinthians. 11:1, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. The huperpatosin. Ephesians 5:1, therefore, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. As beloved children, walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. And we desire, 6:11 of Hebrews, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope till the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. It's enough to be like those who have gone before you. We have great examples in our own body here of those who, look at Dan and Judy, the faith they had, Judy especially, the faith she had for Dan, and then the faith that they both had for Greg, and look what happened. And Ty, your mother spent many hours on her knees for me and you, so she did her share. And Scott, Susie, the loss of her child, you know, you can't even say how much they've inspired and how much they've glorified Christ. And for that, I'm very grateful. But be imitators of Paul, be imitators of God. Don't forget the whole purpose of this life and the purpose of your study. More than that, I count all things to be loss in the view of surpassing value, knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Count them but rubbish, so that they may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained it, already, or become perfect, but I press on, so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it, but one thing, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. There. Imitate that if you want to imitate something. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. None of us will ever need the grace, probably, that Paul needed. But it just makes us realize that grace is available, and it's always sufficient. It's always more than what we can ask or imagine. 2 Corinthians 12:9, you know, Paul had that little whatever it was in his eyesight or whatever. He prayed that the Lord take it away 3 times. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient. It's all you need. Grace is sufficient for you. Power is perfected in weakness. So be as weak as you have to get all the grace that you will ever need. If you're going to boast about anything, boast about your weakness, because you'll be stronger for it. Your preaching may not be real popular at times, but you will be charged by Scott on Ordination Sunday in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ and many witnesses, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, will turn aside to myths. I was thinking of Jeremiah 29, his message wasn't real popular. The king and the priests and the prophets and everybody wanted to kill him because his message was, go to Babylon, relax, go to Babylon, start families, build houses, get a job, bless those cities that you're going to be dwelling in. And they didn't want to hear that, but that was his message. And do good in the cities where you'll be residing. For thus says the Lord, 29:10, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That was the Lord's doing, all that, the whole thing. The 70 years, Babylon, was all the Lord's doing. So why kick? Why complain? Just go along. He's in charge. Nothing bad's going to happen. But we must seek him with all our hearts. So, Ty, Greg, 2:15, 2 Timothy, be diligent, spoude, be quick, always be ready, to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Greg and Ty, guard what has been entrusted to you, voiding worldly and empty chatter and opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and thus gone astray from the faith. Grace be with you. 4:12 of 1 Timothy, love, faith, and let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Till I come, give attention to reading. Can't think of a good message some night? You didn't have time to study? You're in a rush? Read the scriptures. That'll always work. Can't go wrong doing that. Pay close attention to yourselves and your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you ensure salvation for yourself and for those who hear you. I think I said that before, but it's worth saying again. 2 Timothy 1:6, for this reason I remind you, kindle afresh the gift of God, which will be in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, dunamis, love, and discipline, sound thinking, a sophronismos, a wise, wise mind thinking. Comes from the two words soon and oida, which we know oida is, to know completely, to know as if you've seen it. So that's what you do. You gather your thoughts, your newly acquired divine principles, and together you use them. The Spirit gathers them together and uses them in whatever situation that you might be. All Scripture is inspired by God, profitable teaching. 2 Timothy 3:16, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Your adequacy is from the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is of God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Okay, so we'll move on to the 11th commandment, or just a summing up of all the other 10 commandments in one. A new commandment, John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, so that you love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. 1 Timothy 1:5. The goal, the telos, of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a catharized stream of conscience, all the old norms and standards replaced by new divine norms and standards. Of love and also a unfeigned faith, not imitated, real faith. Don't pretend you're somebody at church and then somebody else at home or somebody else with your friends or whatever. Be who you are all the time. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. 1 Corinthians 13. When a perfect comes, the partial will be done. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with those childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, love, abide these three. But the greatest is love. Agape love. 1 John 3:1. See how great a love the Father out of this world. What country? Question mark. That's the that's the word that's used there. It's an out of this world love. It's not known to mankind. Has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and his appeared as yet what we will be. But we know that when he appears, we'll be like him, because we'll see him just as he is. Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. We know love by this, 1 John 3:16, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's what you do in your study. Not physically. Well, maybe physically if something happened, but you're laying your life down in your study. You're laying it down for your brother to give to them so they might grow, become men and women of God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us. God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, verse 10. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. You guys love him? Greg, Ty, you love the Lord? Feed his sheep. Love the Lord, number one. Love his word, love his people, and love the lost even. They need it more than any of us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, not to condemn the world, but to save it. His love was most manifested on the cross. It's always the focal point to show his love. The cross that saves, the cross that crucified us to the world and the world to us. He loved us and gave himself. Therefore, don't frustrate the grace of God, but abound in it. Be baptized into it. Allow yourself to be powered by it. Its bounds are endless. It's more than you'll ever need. Relax. Let it flow over you till you're consumed by it. Just a little damper on James 3:1. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways, but there is enough grace to go around. Like I said, we should be showing our best to the world, and especially those who love us. I know I fail terribly. Look to yourselves first. You can't change anybody. My hope, my prayer, that you guys can say like Paul one day, I've fought the good fight, finished the course, kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge will give to me on that day, not only to me, but all those who love his appearing. And that's how you preach, so people will love his appearing. Then you'll all share that crown of righteousness. And that's it. Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord. Bless these two gentlemen. Lord, get them ready. Bless them. Bless their study. Just bless them and bless them entirely in all areas of their life, Lord. Because we love them. We've seen them grow up right before our eyes, Lord. Not only as human beings, but spiritual people. And we thank you for them, Lord. And once again, we thank you for the cross, where the greatest showing of your love ever was and ever will be. And we just thank you so much for that, Lord. If you've never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. You're supposed to do the work of an evangelist too. So if there's anybody, Lord, make them realize how much you loved them when you gave your son on that cross. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.